Episode 15 of Truth, Beer, and Podsequences is sponsored by the Craft Parenting Podcast. Check out their blog at craftparentingpodcast.com and subscribe, like, share, and review the Craft Parenting Podcast everywhere you listen to your shows. Now let's get ready for another fun episode.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
And welcome back, everyone, to Truth, Beer, and Podsequences. My name is Marco. I'm a brewer here locally in the Cincinnati craft beer scene. What I'm going to do is give you a little rundown. If you've joined the show before, thank you for coming back. If this is your first time, thank you for listening. Don't forget to like, share the show with all of your friends or anybody in your contact list that you may or may not consider a friend. Please do that. This show is a show where we recap Cincinnati Craft Beer Podcast with our version of the truth. So we are hoping there aren't too many consequences from the hosts of the other shows when we put in, you know, our own little spin on what we think's happening in the show or behind the mic. I also, at this point, would like to bring in, because it's been way too long, I talked way too much, I want to bring in my regular and fantastic bestest co-host in Podcastlandia.
It has been a minute and 20 seconds, and I have yet to say a single word. And I think that that's unacceptable.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm Julia. I like to drink all the craft beers. Sometimes I write funny things about the craft beers. And I like to listen to podcasts about craft beers. In addition to Marco and I, we have an extra special guest today on the show. We don't do guests super frequently yet, but I would love to introduce the lovely, the funny, the amazing Caroline from Craft Parenting Podcast.
Hey, you guys. Thank you for letting me join you.
Absolutely.
I have some versions of the truth that I can hope will help make your listeners very happy.
Wonderful. That is what we are here for.
Yes.
So it wouldn't be a good beer podcast or beer podcast if we weren't having an adult beverage. Caroline, do you want to start off? What are you having to drink tonight?
Yes, sure. First.
I am having a Mad Tree C is for Cookie.
Ooh.
It is a wit beer with, I was told, caramel and coconut notes.
Oh, that sounds good. I've seen it on the board. I just, for whatever reason, haven't picked it up yet, but that sounds awesome.
Well, so my kids love Sesame Street. If Elmo or Cookie Monster tell them to do anything, they will do it, which I think might include murdering Joe and myself.
Oh.
So we hope that never happens.
All right.
And
so producer Brian is kind of like Elmo?
I think he's more like Oscar the Grouch sometimes.
Yeah.
Love you, Brian. Thanks for being the best producer ever. Not that you're going to listen to this, but
you know. No, he's not going to listen.
No, he's not going to listen. He never listens.
But we're still going to shout out our podcast host, BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, where the Cintas guy keeps his place fresh
and clean.
I did notice it smelled very nice when I came in the door.
It
does. I appreciate
it. It's like first thing you notice, and then you look around and you're like, and there's beer.
Right.
It's great. So, Marco, what are you drinking?
I am drinking, let's see, I'm very far away from where the board is, but it wasn't from the board. I got it from the cooler.
We're closer to the coolers than the board. Come on.
I got, it's from this place called Third Eye Brewing.
Never heard of them. I'm kidding.
Hemptasia, West Coast IPA with terpenes. And, I mean, you all know what terpenes are.
It's like turtles, right?
Are they turnips?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, you got to peel them. If you don't peel them before you put them in the beer, it's very, very just overly bitter. So you got to peel the terpenes before you put them in the beer.
That's fair enough. And I'll round out the table. I am drinking a Penguin on Nitro from Rheingeist, which I've had on the show before. And it's really good, really smooth. And I love it. Caroline, have you listened to any podcasts this week?
One or two.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Marco, how about you?
All of them.
Every single one of them?
All of them.
Nice. Have you listened or rather watched all the YouTubes, though? I'm going to call you out on this one.
Okay, no, I did not.
I at least did that one.
Ooh,
good job.
Ooh, we may have a new co-host here.
Good job.
Yeah,
I could sit that out. I could sit that portion out. Just sit over there at that seat over there.
We'll just stick you in the corner.
And then...
But that's where the kegs are, so you might be happy about that.
Shake up a penguin and try and pour it.
Try to pour without spraying it everywhere. So the podcasts that we're going to cover tonight are Sonder Stories, Chapter 78, The Craft Parenting Podcast, episode 34, Cincy Brewcast, where he went to the Hub in Hamilton, you know, his new home away from home, and Shift Beers, episode 57. So why don't we go ahead and take a real quick break, let Caroline decide as our guest what podcast we're going to cover first.
Yes, and the order.
Yes, and we will be right back. And we are back, and Caroline has opted to go for Sonder Stories first, chapter 78, where they went over their anniversary and beer occasions. They recorded this last week before their anniversary, where we obviously record after the fact, so we did not get a chance to review this one until post anniversary. But it was a pretty fun show, as most of them are. Justin, Chad, and Danny got together, talked about what was going to happen at their third anniversary celebration, and they asked a whole bunch of questions of each other about what beers they felt go with specific beer occasions.
So if we want to start sort of from the beginning of the show, after they go around the table and whatnot, it comes up that there's a little bit of a challenge with the terms, the lingo, the effort that Justin puts into using the term gas. It drew blank stares. It also had somebody follow up with, did you just say gas? Is that what you got from the beginning of the show?
It was all of the words that I could maybe say if I was like three levels cooler than I actually am.
Yeah.
Like
likewise,
I attempt to say
likewise.
It slaps
same
and
geez.
It never and really it just works. Doesn't. Just I just get slapped in the face whenever I try to do that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my. I feel like those work better for me if I'm doing it via text, like a text message or a post on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But if I try to say it in person, you know, that slaps, that's gas, it's bussin'. I'm just met with, what did you just, did you really say that? And then I just kind of shrink down. Yes.
Was that's okay? Part of it, right? They, yeah. They talk about that in the show, is that part of it is just going with it and the confidence that it takes to go with something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they,
yeah.
they
say it
do
with confidence
talk,
and you should be okay, but.
Right. And there were some actions that they talk about in the show that some people took with confidence and they just went along with that. And, you know, you've got to listen to the show to know what you should not do if you're a patron of Sonder.
Even if you have
all the confidence in the world, don't do some of these actions.
Yes. So when we were talking to Caroline when she showed up about the different podcasts, she read between the lines of what Sonder's doing, and she may have discovered their new business venture.
Caroline?
I mean, they do go hand in hand because they both involve wheat.
They do.
But they talked a lot about pie and like pie-related accessories.
It's true, yeah.
It was like a third of the episode, so they must be opening a bakery.
I felt like they were in an episode of Supernatural with their love of pie. So for any
well,
Supernatural nerds out there,
coffee.
You're welcome. They do have script coffee.
So
coffee and a slice of pie. I mean, what could be better?
I mean, beautiful. I would love that.
That would be awesome. Yeah, they were talking about Pie Pie Pie, which is one of the beers that they're going to be releasing, or that they did release, rather, during their anniversary celebration. I have in almost all of my notes Pie Cubed written down because I didn't feel like writing the word pie three times.
Yeah.
What else did you have as far as a takeaway from this week's Sonder Stories?
They had some pretty good things about showers, but didn't include shower beers, which I was very disappointed about.
Yes. Well, I mean, one of the things when you go into showers is Justin decided that he was going to buy a record, a vinyl, instead of installing a rotating shower floor. Complete missed opportunity on that one.
I mean, really, it was.
Complete missed opportunity. And I mean, although I guess if you have a rotating shower floor, you would have to hold your shower beer the whole time. Which
it would be hard to put down.
Kind of hard. Yeah, yeah. You'd have to like.
You got to have a stool in there too for when you go to shave your legs. You know, that's a challenge.
This is true. You know, this is true.
A stool with if it's rotating like that, you need to have sort of a way to balance yourself.
How quickly, if you guys had a rotating shower floor, which I do have to admit sounds great, you just stand there and just the water just hits everywhere as you're slowly, you know, going around.
Yeah, rotation, like the
earth. Yes, yes. How fast or slow would your preferred shower, your preferred rotating shower floor be? Would it be like super, super slow to where you had like a minute or two per body quadrant as it's spinning around? Or would you want it to be faster to where like every minute on the minute your entire body's getting showered?
I guess answer first.
Yeah.
I think anything less than 5 rotations per minute would just be way too slow. Okay. I want to have some kind of death-defying like experience every time I get in the shower.
Well, what if it's after recording Truth Beer Pod on a Tuesday night or the Wednesday morning after recording Truth Beer Pod? I think you'd want it to go just a little bit slower.
What would the walls be like? I mean, is this going to be kind of like a fully enclosed where there's a solid surface? Is there a curtain to where if you get flung from the rotating shower, you're just going through the curtain and crashing into, like, the toilet or something?
Well, based on my experience with being accident prone.
Oh, that's true. You do still have the boot.
I do still have the boot.
Ah, das boot.
My husband would say the proper answer is zero rotations ever.
But if you have zero rotations, one part of your body gets cold.
Well, and you have to do all that moving. Work. Yeah. You're going to burn so many calories.
It's actually safer to have a rotating shower floor.
It is.
Because you're not, like, turning and twisting and all this other stuff. It's like you don't have to move except for your arms to, you know.
Put it on the pole. Is it safer to have a rotating shower, yes or no?
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll put that up on the pole. So what else was there? Was there anything else really with this episode of Sonder Stories, which we actually didn't go over beer occasions. One of the big parts of the show was questions about, here's a situation, here's an occasion, such as you've been out drinking all Friday night, you're home, what beer do you grab? Things like that.
What Sonder beer? So, I don't know, Julia, you just bought your last box of diapers, your kid is out of diapers, your celebration Sonder beer is what?
Kenosha Kickers, because we just kicked the diaper habit to the curb.
Ah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Caroline, just got paroled.
Oh, just got paroled?
Yes.
I mean, what's the highest ABV beer they have? Because
Would that be one of the family traditions?
Yeah, so probably family traditions then, because I just want to, like, forget the last X amount of time that happened.
Yes.
Let's just move on with our life.
Which I believe Sonder just released. On the 26th or 27th, Black Friday, I believe, is when they release Family Tradition. So that is right around the corner.
Yeah.
So you will be able to have one after your parole if you ever, you know, should come into that
situation. I'll give you another one, Julia.
Yeah.
Let's see. So your best friend's best friend passed away, and this is the beer that you're taking to cheer them up before the funeral.
How about Cato.
Ah, okay.
I think Cato. Something Cato. That's not going to be overly, because I mean, if you're in that situation, you're already going to be mentally and physically exhausted from the stress of all of that. I wouldn't want to give them something super heavy, super dark. That's just going to continue to drag them down. I would want to give them something kind of light, refreshing, but still with a lot of flavor. And
Caroline, let's see. Craft Parenting Pod had 100 downloads in its first 2 hours of being released.
Oh, we'd kill for that.
Yeah. what would you celebrate?
Okay, so after the murder, you would have
after the parole beer.
Yeah.
So now we're figuring out what order these things came in. Marco was just giving them to you and, you know.
We can put a whole story behind this.
I think we just did.
We did.
I like it.
Yeah, it could be another 0.5. Any thoughts on what beer you'd have after that sort of momentous occasion?
I mean, I'm really big into Bock beers. Probably William Goat.
William Goat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
He likes to party.
Marco, I have one for you.
I'm ready.
You just found out that someone paid the $499 Patreon price for Chris to murder the person that put your grandmother into prison.
Oh.
What Sonder beer are you drinking?
To be honest, I mean, there's a lot of Sonder beers I haven't had because of, you know, dietary restrictions and things of that nature.
Let's pick two then. One that you can have, and then if you could have any without any repercussions.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so I'd say, first of all, go to, love it. It's my jam. It's going to be Rally Cap. So definitely have several Rally Caps after that person was murked. And then if I could have anything, I'd love to try Family Traditions. Haven't tried it. Just assume it has lactose in it. If it doesn't, Chase, hit me up. Let me know. And if it doesn't, hey, I'm in.
Well, was there anything else Sonder Stories related that we needed to touch on? We did have one other thing written down for those of you who are fans of kind of limited Sonder beers, Mexican Hot Chocolate Auto is coming back next year. I know, Marco, you probably can't do that one.
Oh, the Mexican hot chocolates.
That's going to be good. And Divot will be coming back as well, and it will be making its way into cans. So.
That's a session.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. They did not give any actual dates on those, but keep an eye on Sonder on all their social medias. Listen to the Sonder Stories. It is an absolutely fantastic podcast that's not always super Sonder heavy. They often have guests from outside of Sonder that they talk about. But yeah, give them a like, share, and follow, and get some of their beer.
Go do it.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take another real quick break. We'll have Caroline pick the next podcast that we go to, and we will be right back. All right, we are back, and Caroline and Marco have fresh glasses. I'm still nursing my nitro. As you guys know, I'm a slow drinker, so Penguin is going to be with me through this next segment. But Caroline, what did you end up picking up here from the wonderful BC's Bud Lodge?
So since I somehow have to make it back over to the west side, this will probably be
my
last
beer. Which is the best
side. It really is the best side. Hence why I have west side on my shirt.
She does. She has one of West Side Brewing's polos, and I'm jealous.
I had to beg them to tell me when they were going to get polos in stock, mm-hmm. just so I could get one. Yeah, I am drinking a Sonder Brewing Bluegrass Monday, which is a sour ale with blueberry lactose and maple granola.
It's very good beer. Marco?
I have Kronbacher Pils.
One of your staples here.
Yeah, as long as it's on tap, I'll go ahead and have it.
Well, Caroline wants to do all things gnome, so we will go ahead and start. Let's start with Pro, since that was kind of a shorter YouTube video. Yeah, this episode of Pro, speaking of Westside Brewing, Gnome drank Westside Brewing's Red Rye IPA, which I was told by my boyfriend to pick up a couple six-packs when I went there this past Friday, and they were sold out.
Oh, man.
So have you had that one?
No.
It was good. It was very good. They might still, I'm assuming some places that it was distributed to may still have a six-pack or two hanging around, but it was a beautiful golden coppery color. I think amber was the color of the energy. I'm sorry, the color of the beer that Gnome said was in the glass. He mentioned something about it contains a tropical newt.
Yeah.
Which I think is similar to a gecko. So maybe you get a little lizardy pet.
That's great.
With each pint. I'm not sure.
But that sounds cold-blooded.
I mean, you can get a fishbowl drink somewhere. So maybe we're working towards a newt glass.
Ooh, I like it. That's, you know, you read into these podcasts and into these posts very, very well.
I wanted our tagline to be parents with a drinking problem. And I was told that was something along those lines was probably not good, especially if CPS got involved.
I was just going to say, well, honey, why is CPS at our door again? It's not like that. It's just a joke. It's a tagline. Yeah, it was a really good beer. He enjoyed it. I mean, Westside, I don't think I've ever had a bad beer from Westside. There might be a few styles every now and then that I'm not 100% into, but doesn't mean they're not good.
Sure.
Yeah, no, and we like going there because they have the styles that you can't get other places. Because
mm-hmm.
we've right. brewed Schwartz beer two or three times because we can't get it anywhere else.
Yes, it is out now from Westside, and
I'm sure it will be filling up my beer fridge very shortly.
Yes, it is definitely one of those styles that even in the summer, I'm like, I wish I would have saved a couple cans of it.
Right. So Schwartz beer, it's seasonal in a sense, but unlike pumpkin, mm-hmm. who nobody has pumpkin out of season. We covered that in a couple shows ago. Schwartz beer, do it. You know,
yeah, it's a light. Even though it's dark in color, it's light enough to where you can drink it all year round. There is no Schwartz beer season, even though there almost needs to be just to encourage more local breweries to make more. Right now, I know we have Nocturnal from Sonder is out. Westside Schwartz beer is out, and Rebel Metal always has Volume, their Juniper Schwartz beer, which is probably my favorite, followed closely by Westside and then Sonder.
So what we're saying is we have Bockfest, and that's what really revived Bock beer.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on Missing Link right now.
Yes.
The next, I say Missing Link, and that's the name of the Westside beer, but our Link Yeast.
And Urban Artifact and the other.
Yeah, Urban Artifact started that.
Yeah, so once that takes off, then we just need to come up with some kind of Schwartz beer fest.
Yes.
Yeah,
amen.
Maybe Sonder can get on that. Danny, Danny over at Sonder, that's you're really leading the charge. You're carrying the torch for Schwarzbier season. So
let's do it. We're in. You have at least three of us here at this table that are in. Well, let's move on to Cincy Brewcast, where Gnome went to the Hub, which is the Hamilton's urban backyard, which is, surprise, surprise, in Hamilton, which, as we all know, is where Gnome now lives.
Yeah, it's the Hamilton Brewcast now.
Yes, yes, instead of Cincy Brewcast. Is it the Hamilcast? I don't know. I couldn't remember.
Hamilcast.
Would that get into Star Wars a bit too much, though?
Ooh.
Yes.
Could be.
Yes, it could be.
Do you think that's why Gnome moved out there? Because he's a fan of Mark Hamill, and he wanted Hamill to be part of his everyday life?
I mean, the nerd side in me wants that to be true.
Let's say yes. Yeah. Let's go with it. Let's just go with it.
Maybe he'd make an appearance on the Hamilcast.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
How about that?
That'd be very cool. I mean, we all know that Gnome wears nothing but, you know, Star Wars regalia all the time.
Footed pajamas.
Yes.
So, Hamilton Urban Backyard. they start the show with one of the owners of Municipal and then the owner of the Hamilton Urban Backyard.
Yep.
And they just go into how a little bit of thank you to Municipal for, you know, taking the leap and doing what they did and really being a leader in the progressive things that are happening in Hamilton. And then the owner of the Hamilton Urban Backyard wanted to do something in Hamilton. He and his wife wanted to somehow be a part of the business scene in Hamilton, do something that they were really passionate about. And it wasn't until they took a trip up towards the top of the Mitten up there in Michigan where they found an idea that really sparked the energy that they have and the passion they have in the project going on in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You guys want to maybe expand on that passion, vision, and what that is?
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is that we should probably cover what the Hamilton Urban Backyard is, what the Hub is. It's not quite a food truck park. They do have some permanent food trucks. Mama Bear's Mac is one of them. But they also have a very large indoor space where you can get food from these food trucks as well as, you know, picnic tables and lawn space and all kinds of area where you can go. And they are part of the Dora District or Dora, you know, region up in Hamilton. So it's the kind of place where you can get a beer from Municipal, walk over to the Hub, get your food, have everyone hang out, the kids run around, play, and just spend a whole afternoon, if not a whole day, up there.
I mean, as someone with two relatively small children.
Mm-hmm. You have children?
I have two fur babies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and three kids to take care of, if you count the ancient one.
I've heard rumors of this one. He's the Michael Jackson of German dancing.
Yes, yes, that is still... I re-listened to that part of the episode, and I almost died again. Wonderful.
We'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. So once we get through the winter, Elliot will be running around after Lily. So anywhere that we can go to drink a beer and the kids can run around with very little judgment, even if it's like a 45-minute drive away from our house, we'll probably be like, hey, let's go
we're
here.
Doing this, yeah.
And then just throw the kids in the wagon and, okay, let's head down the road, maybe hit up a brewery so we can just like walk with you guys and wear you out for nap time.
Because they did say that the space, because of the turf they put down, it is kid friendly but not pet friendly because they don't want the pets enjoying the turf.
Well, let's be honest. They don't want the pets peeing and pooping on the turf.
I was trying not to be crass about it.
But you just got to be careful. I mean, because, you know, I mean, kids, adults, I mean, they pee and poop too.
We're just a little more civilized about it.
We try to
sometimes.
Be. I mean, it depends.
One of the cool things I thought about the Hub, too, is even though they have permanent food trucks, a lot of times at, you know, breweries or places where they have permanent food, you can't bring in outside food and beverages to that space. The Hub is completely different, where they say, we understand that if we have a dedicated food truck or two, not everyone either may be able to eat from that or may not want to, or if you have kids, kids are going to want what kids are going to want regardless of the options presented to them.
Totally understand. You get a food truck there and they serve amazing coq au vin. It's not like, you know, the kids want some coq au vin, you know. you got to get them something to serve with the kids.
Or in your situation, Marco, you can go up there and have Mama Bear's Mac.
I could not.
You could, but you would regret it.
Oh, yeah, but it would be, the turf would be just a mess.
It would then be a no-marco zone.
That's right.
But no, when they talk to their ownership and the other people involved, they understand that. So they're like, if people want to bring in their own food because of some type of dietary restriction, or they just don't want this type of food that we have, but they want to still enjoy our space, buy beer, do whatever, they're cool with that, which I think is a really, really, really good business model. You don't want to have someone say, I'd love to go there, but I can't because I can't bring in a McDonald's Happy Meal for my kid because that is the only thing that they want to eat right now.
Well, and you're going to get that, like, oh, I just got publicly shamed for bringing in this food for my child, and now I'm just going to go blast it all over Facebook that this is the worst place ever.
Right.
Which is the correct response, right? I mean, that's what you should do in that situation. Yeah. Or if you have a beer, like, let's say you don't like hazelnut and you have a hazelnut beer, I mean, and you should just blast
just
that.
Just blast it. Just be like, this was terrible.
Not necessarily the same thing, but yeah.
Urban Artifacts pickle beer. I mean, I always rate that 1 star because I hate pickles.
What? Oh, you're the one.
How dare you? That beer is phenomenal. It's war. And one of the other cool things about it that they, when they were talking about municipal, I don't say expanding, but they're going to have a tap room in the Spooky Nook Sporting Complex that they're building up there. And they dropped a nugget that Narrow Path is probably going to be expanding to Hamilton as well.
I'm really going to have to get up to Hamilton at some point now.
Yes.
See, and that's what the gist of all of these shows that, you know, the pods that the Gnome is putting out there is say, hey, that response right there is exactly what was not happening years and years and years ago, and it's happening now.
Right.
So, listen to the shows, and if you enjoy food, beverage, if you enjoy outdoors and walking, you know, get over to Hamilton.
Yeah, and apparently the hub is part TARDIS. According to the Gnome, it's bigger on the inside. He said those exact words because they were in the indoor space. He goes, man, this thing is bigger on the inside. He also dropped a tiny nugget about the beer booze bonks, binks, boinks, banks, bops fest. He did say that there will not be any half barrels of Utopias there. That just means we're going to have a six-stall.
Six barrel.
It's going to be there.
Six barrel.
Marco and I.
And the owner from the hub actually asked.
Yeah, yeah. He brought that up.
Oh, or was it Chef Tony? No, it was the owner from the hub.
It was the owner from the hub. He was like, oh, so. Friend of the show, yeah. He was like, you're going to have Utopias there. And Noam's like, we are not going to have a half barrel there. He did not say that they're not going to have any Utopias there.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show. The place I don't work at, we tapped a...
Utopias?
No.
Oh.
No.
Shit.
No, the place I don't work at, we tapped a peanut butter chocolate stout, and the only place you can get it other than the place I don't work at is at the Hamilton Urban Backyard.
That's awesome. Was there anything else really about this episode of Cincy Brewcast that we haven't talked about or made up or thrown down?
Thank you, Noam, for the shout-out to Truth Beer Pod right at the beginning of the show. Appreciate your support.
Speaking of the beginning of the show...
Yes, go. Do it.
Gnome, I have an issue. I have a big issue with the beginning of this show.
We're just going to lay out and let you go there.
It's a one sentence. No, I'll probably rant about this for a little bit.
Take all the time you need.
There was no from the beer fridge.
What the F?
So either they weren't drinking, which, you know, it's fine. It's whatever. But nothing. Absolutely nothing. No mention of it. No little, from the beer fridge, no show notes about anything drinking, and how are we supposed to talk about a beer podcast when the beer podcast doesn't talk about their beer?
Boo.
They didn't even talk about refilling their glasses.
No, nothing. Nothing. Which, I mean, again, it's if just for whatever reason, they just, maybe it was earlier in the day, I don't know exactly when they recorded. Actually, I do. Noam and I talked, but,
it's 5:30 somewhere.
We'll just pretend that, I didn't know what time they recorded. Even if they decided they weren't going to drink beer, I mean, they could have made it up. We wouldn't know the difference. And isn't that a...
We have not done that on our show. We have not done that on our show ever. I swear.
Hey. Do what you gotta
do.
The yes.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
So, Gnome, let's be careful about that. Let's try to not let there be a non or a from the beer fridge free episode going forward, because that's one of the most fun things is trying to enjoy drinking what everyone else is drinking as long as it's available outside of, like as Marcus said, that specific location.
Look, I mean, I get it. Even Michael Jordan missed the shot, right? I mean, let's go by.
I mean, Noam was probably just excited that he was recording in his hometown. And was just so excited he just forgot to hit the button and just forgot to do that. Yeah. It's cool. I'll let this one slide a bit, but it was a shocking.
If you recorded the beer booze bonks boinks and booby prizes event, you better have a from the beer fridge.
Can you imagine the absolute beautiful, gorgeous train wreck that episode would be? Like just pulling random people from the fest to like, hey, what do you think so far?
Oh,
I think it's both both the best and the worst idea.
It's absolutely both. Well, I think and worst. Go ahead.
When he said that by 6 p.m., which is when we're going to end up getting there, he'll already be wasted. So I don't know. Does Drunk Gnome have a name or is he just Drunk Gnome?
Drome? I don't
know. Well, there you go. You're combining words. I like it. Yes. Combining the words. Yes. Drunk Gnome is Drome.
I don't know. We should, if he doesn't.
He will probably have one by the end of the night.
He will probably have one by the end of it, yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, it was a great show, so everyone support the Gnome and everything he does. Follow Cincy Brewcast on all the social medias. Follow the Gnarly Gnome on all the social medias. TheGnarlyGnome.com is where you can get all of your Gnome information. He's trying to do more video content, so TheGnarlyGnome.com/YouTube. Check out his vlogs, his show pros. Almost every Monday at between 9 and 9:30, Facebook Live, watch the Weekly Pint. That's where Marco and I hang out and have a beer with the Gnome. All right, well, let's go ahead. I am almost done with my beer. So I'm going to go refill my glass. Marco's probably about done with his. And we will be right back. All we have left is shift beers and then the best show of this episode, Craft Parenting Podcast. So hang out with us and we will be right back. All right. We are back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for sticking with us through the probably less than a second in podcast time and multiple minutes in real life time.
It was only like four.
Close enough to it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we had life decisions we had to make, right?
It's true.
I mean, some of us need to refill our glasses.
Yeah. Speaking of, Marco, you have a full glass. What do you have tonight? Well, what else do you have tonight, I guess I should say?
Yeah, I had to do it. I mean, after the last segment and what we were talking about, I had to get a Nocturnal.
Hell,
you know? I mean, it is amazing. It's like the Selma Hayek of beers.
Nice and big bodied.
I didn't say that. I just
no one saw the imagery of my hand gestures. Yeah, that was a little lost.
Everybody on Patreon.
Patreon members. Yeah.
Don't be mad
for the
Rachel.
Live stream.
Love you, babe.
Oh man, I have a Clear Sky Loops from Wolf's Ridge Brewing. It's a cream ale, and then Caroline, you're just finishing up your Sonder still.
Bluegrass Monday or whatever it's called.
I mean, it is Tuesday, but I think it still works.
Okay. Shift
cool.
Beers.
Shift Beers. Episode 57 with the over-under game, which they explain the over-under game is kind of a combination of some games that they've played before, Untapped Golf and Untapped Arcade, where you try to pick the beer with the lowest score and then a beer with the highest score, what you think is going to rate highest.
It was a great episode. I mean, we say that every episode for all the shows. It's we could probably just get one of the buttons to say that, but what I want to say is that I don't know if I feel like either of the games really brought it to what the game was supposed to be.
Well, they were really bad at doing the under beers.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
They were. Actually, I kind of want to rewind a little bit to Josh's intro for the show. It's normally about the same. You know, this is the show. This is what it's about. But this one, for whatever reason, my little bird brain picked up how he mentioned that, you know, they talk about, you know, drinking and drinking accessories. Have they ever talked about a drinking accessory on the show? I can't. I mean, maybe they have.
In what sense?
Remember.
Like, I mean, did
they
you
say
want
cups
them?
A whole lot?
good. Yeah, that's
true. They talk about cups.
Yeah,
I don't
cups
know.
Are
they
drinking,
they don't really
yeah,
talk
that's
about
fair. That's
the
fair.
Shakers or
no.
Stirrers or
swizzle sticks.
Yeah,
garnishes. But yeah, cups. That,
umbrellas.
That's a good one, Caroline.
Little,
yeah, that's an excellent one.
Umbrellas that
yeah,
go my, into.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
I would like to see a show where they have some of their booze up there, and they get like a NutriBullet, and they're just mixing up cocktails.
I mean,
like,
they pretty
brrr,
much.
And then
you know
they
what
just
they need.
Pass
they,
them around
when they do their cuvées. When they like take all the beers that they've had, and they just start brrr. Putting one one drink. Yeah, they need to have the little umbrellas for those moments, and
that's
that could
a,
be one of their drinking accessories.
That was not a burp. That was a barf. By the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, yeah. That was. That
we'll
was.
Throw up.
Are you channeling some Button Brian?
Could be.
He is. He's. See, this is why our mics are color coded. Mm-hmm. So that we always know
right.
which mics stay on the far side of the table.
It has nothing to do with COVID, really. It has more to do with, hey,
burp particles.
Keep your own breath by your own breath.
So, yeah, the over-under game. Well, instead of going through that, because there was a lot of really terrible beers that they brought for the under, the worst one being Deer Slayer, which you actually had.
Yeah, I slayed a deer.
He slayed a deer.
Yep.
And was it as bad? Because that was the worst rated, the winner of the worst rated beers that they brought. Do you think it is a worst rated beer? Do you think that it would take that category?
It was on, it won clearly, so it was on brand. So my story, true story from BC's Bottle Lodge. Hold on a second.
Woo, here we go.
So I was here at BC's Bottle Lodge.
No way.
I walked in. Right. I mean, who could believe
who
it?
Who could believe it?
I walked in. There were two other Mug Clubbers here because I'm a Mug Club member at BC's Bottle Lodge. Two other Mug Club members. It was on, I believe, a Friday. And BC's Bottle Lodge was completely rearranged with the tables because there were two parties here.
Damn.
There was a rehearsal dinner. And I'm using air quotes for the visual Patreon listeners.
He just pointed to the camera. He's like, the camera over there.
Over there.
That's actually Sam Adams' Nut Brown Ale. Or no, I'm sorry, Samuel Smith's Nut Brown Ale that you're pointing at,
Samuel
not a camera.
Nut
now, the packaging is brown with a big white circle. It's kind of the logo. So I can understand how you might have mistaken that for a camera.
I came in, of course.
Like a wrecking ball.
Wonderful, Julia.
Oh my God,
you're
I did it instead
how this
of Marco.
Goes.
No.
You're getting how this goes. Caroline's next.
I mean, I already do that in real life, so we'll get there.
Excellent. So I walked in. The place was empty except for the three of us, mm-hmm. and we knew these parties were about to come. So it was a wedding rehearsal dinner at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery, and then there was a birthday party at BC's Bottle Lodge Montgomery. And so as I was here having a beer discussing, you know, how we solve, we're not going to solve the world's problems, but we're going to solve problems here in our local municipality as we, you know, go through and enjoy our beverages. Mm-hmm. The place started to fill up and fill up and fill up, and so we had to move from a table out sort of towards the middle of the general area to sitting at the bar, which is, I mean, fine for me. I prefer that, actually. And then I just didn't know what to drink. Producer Kenny was here, and as it started to get ramped up, Kenny goes, do you want a Deer Slayer? And I was like, well, with a name like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I
sounds metal as fuck.
Sounds like Deer Slayer. And so
in a world
right
where deer
in
are
a
slain.
World where deers are slain.
Nice.
So I got the Deer Slayer and I put that out on the Soch, mm-hmm. Tagged Shift Beers.
So did Shift Beers pick that up because of you?
I think they might have. I think they might have. I think I you know, I'm going to take credit either way.
Oh yeah, you
right?
should. 100%.
You know. But anyway, so yes, I had a Deer Slayer, and then they had Deer Slayer on the show. I mm-hmm. think it was totally on brand. I am very proud that I was able to be a catalyst for just terrible
for picking
beer.
Terrible beer.
Terrible
I mean, like,
beer.
You also brought, I know that Shift Beers did it first, but you also brought the Danny Trejo beer, which was
yeah.
probably the worst beer that I've had since we started recording.
Caroline, have you had that beer?
No.
I'm going to get some for you for Christmas, and then you should give it away to somebody else.
That you don't, like, oh, yeah, hey, I had this beer, you should try it. And it kept getting worse the more we drank. Like, I don't know how that was possible. Like, we're like, so circling back, you know, as the crow flies to shift beers, the best beer that they picked was Midnight Coffee, and I don't have written down who that was from. Oh, we even had a nickname from high school for you in the last episode, I don't think.
Ask my wife. Midnight Coffee.
All right. I trust you. I trust her. We'll kind of let that one just settle and move on. Yeah. Poor Caroline. She's just like, what in God's name am I doing here? So, Caroline, you heard Shift Beers mention that they have $70 in Patreon bucks from the, you know, five people.
From
that,
you?
From me. No, not just me. I only
and
take
the gnome
I only take
and a, Chris's and I, Chris's Chris, wife
I only take a fifth of the credit for what they have.
Actually, Chris is a Patreon supporter of his own show.
Yes,
his wife
his
is
wife.
A Patreon supporter of ours.
Of Chris. Well, nice. Nice. Yeah, Chris, your wife slides into our DMs all the time.
Oh my goodness, I'm glad you all said that and not me.
Well, she slides into my DMs. I don't know about you, but let me just say, Chris,
I
love your wife.
Wrong.
No. So, but anyway, so they talked about how they had a whole bunch of money in their Patreon account. What was your takeaway for what they want to do with those tens of dollars?
Yeah, so they said, we'll buy microphones for everyone. If you get one microphone, that's maybe. But really, if you want some good quality podcasting microphones, you got to get a little more money first.
So what you're saying is we need more people to jump onto their $4.99 Patreon level, which means more people will die. Or mosquitoes.
Chris is going to have to murder more people.
Mosquitoes. I mean, he murked a mosquito last time.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything about those fruit flies. Maybe we need to contribute so that they can get rid of the fruit fly issue in Button Brian's office.
Maybe pay for a cleaning service first.
Like Cintas.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's all...
That's amazing. Chris did mention that Cintas is a once-a-monther. Mm-hmm. Over there at the M1.
Yeah, the place they don't work at.
They maybe need to up that a little bit just for Brian's office. Yeah. Though Brian doesn't exist, so...
Maybe incorporate Orkin.
So, two kind of geeky things that I want to bring up about Shift Beers this episode is Beth and Josh are both into Stardew Valley. Love Stardew Valley. I mob the shit out of my game, but if they're up for multiplayer, I would love to figure out how we can do that. Nothing to do with beer whatsoever, but...
I mean, I typically drink beer anytime I get to play video games or board games, so...
True that.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, Animal Crossing is my new love. Well, not new love. I've loved that game since the GameCube days, but Stardew is absolutely phenomenal.
Good she was being a fucking nerd.
Yes.
Hell yeah, I was.
There you are.
Damn straight.
What the F?
So
shit.
So that's the only button that I have, so it's all that I got.
We'll get there.
I can do. We'll get there.
It's fine. I mean, we're young still.
So my second, like, kind of geek-ish moment of this Shift Beers episode was when they were talking about Jefferson Reserve.
Is that a band?
Yes. Yeah. So first there was Jefferson Starship, then there was Jefferson Airplane, or maybe it was Airplane, then Starship, who knows?
And then
it rolled into Jefferson Reserve.
Right.
So, I mean,
gotcha.
You have a very broad spectrum of the same band, just different names, because why the hell not? But someone, it was either Chris or Brian, and I apologize, I couldn't recognize your but they did a little sound about it that immediately went, that sounds like the Chamberlain, who is a Skeksis from the Dark Crystal movie and the Netflix show. So shout out for an amazing impression that I'm sure you had no idea that you were doing it. It was just before the 9-minute mark, if anyone wants to go back and re-listen to Shift Beers and check it out.
Yeah, I grew up on the Dark Crystal.
They talked a lot about James Bond and the James Bond movies in this episode, and
James
they
Bond.
Did not have a single burp during that part of their show.
So very much in tune. I feel much like, you know, that Beth has been elevated to just a stratosphere in my sort of personal stratosphere of people.
She's my favorite.
I mean, I have watched every single James Bond movie. And my wife has been in the room while I've watched every single James Bond movie. I won't say whether she was awake or not, except for the latest one. The latest one I have not watched, but now I did not grow up watching the James Bond movies. This was something that I found in my adulthood where I just thought it'd be a great idea to watch the James Bond movies. And one of my friends, shout out to Brandon Jackson, my buddy, he had the entire set up to a point, and so he said, I'll let you watch them.
It was a decent chunk of time that they talked about it. It was probably 5 to 7 minutes worth of the show that they talked about James Bond, and not a single burp, which shows you how
they were really
important.
Yeah, they were really into it, and Beth just stole the show.
Yes.
As she does. I mean, she's just, you know, a standout. That sort of tangent is some of the fun that you get out of listening to Shipbeers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a group of friends sitting around having drinks, and just like we do, the conversation goes in 15 million directions. They just don't have to worry about trying to rein it back into a singular focus.
That is always the key.
Yes.
Joe does a very good job of wrangling me back in.
Wrangler.
Other than the burp count, was there anything else about Shift Beers? Other than it being, I mean, another super fun show, as always?
I hope that next time they can be a little bit better at playing golf.
Yeah,
really
I would really like to see super terrible scores.
Yeah, like 1-star, 2-star, not everything being in the threes.
Yeah, and don't pick on Cellar Dweller, by the way.
I mean,
and you can't get him in cans, so good luck.
You'll have to have Gnome, you know, go to his, you know, step out his front door in Hamilton and pick them up some.
So
from the hub.
I do agree, though. I mean, the Untapped Arcade part, they all seem to be, you know, really good at picking really high-rated beers.
Really, I mean, bussin' beers.
Yeah, bussin'. You know, there was a whole lot of discussion between bussin', not bussin', no cap. What are we bussin'? And then, you know,
is it a 5 to 10 scale? Is it 6 to 11?
They settled on 6 to 11, I mean, if you're going to turn it up, you got to turn it up to 11, right?
At the least.
100%.
I mean, geez. but I agree. I mean, do better, be better at golf. Y'all.
Yes.
Y'all. My Southern came out there. Y'all.
I will say that for their bonus beers, Urban Artifacts Waterbird, which Gnome covered in last week's pros, got a triple bussin.
They talked about Tres Leches.
They did.
What is it? Cocovesa?
Yeah.
Which it has an X at the beginning of the name. Mm-hmm.
So people are like, it's
Zocovesa, Excovesa. No, it's Cocovesa.
Yep.
You have the Vesas.
As you know, pronunciation is important to us here at Truth Beer Pod. So did you end at a number of the burps that you counted, Caroline?
Yeah, how'd you do, Caroline?
Yeah, yeah.
I had 27.
Okay. All right.
Okay. That's not bad. What I got, so for any new listeners, we need to explain the burp game real fast. There are a lot of moments in Shift Beers that you could make a drinking game out of. It could be how many times they push, you know, a SpongeBob meme for when they take a break, which they really haven't done a whole lot of lately. So good thing we didn't pick that. It could be when Chris or Josh now have an Alzheimer moment and they completely forget what they were just talking about or what was just said 5 minutes ago. But the one we decided was the most consistent and the most fun is to count the number of burps, like audible burps that you can tell are burps and not just background noise, clearing their throat, that type of thing. And Marco let me know that the average drink, when someone takes a sip of liquid, a drink of anything, it's an average of about 2 ounces. So we thought, okay, count the burps. If each burp equals a drink and each drink equals 2 ounces, how many pints would you have had to have drunk in the course of the show? So Shift Beers episode 57, where they played the over-under game. I counted a total of 46 burps, which is 92 ounces, which translates to 5.75 pints, which is pretty on par for them. They typically hover between that 5 and 6 pint per episode range. So I think they did a good job.
Now that we've got two kids, I don't know if I can keep up with that anymore.
So that's the thing. I mean, if you're gonna get into and do the Shift Beers drinking game, I mean, you gotta have, you know, a six pack or more ready to go, because you don't know is it gonna be five beers? Is it gonna be six beers? On the rare occasion might go to seven.
Yeah, it is one of those things that what we have learned is when they have guests on the show, Marco excluded, he tends to kind of really amplify it. A lot of times, guests equal lower burp counts because they're doing more talking than burping, which is fine.
Yeah.
If they have a seltzer episode, that number gets up there. So be prepared. See what the episode title is before you commit to doing the burp game. That's all that I'm going to say.
Yep.
Maybe have a full stomach.
Yes.
Maybe have a friend nearby in case if you get some alcohol poisoning that they can take care of you.
That's right. One of these days, somebody's going to have some fun with that.
Oh, and they're going to blame us, and it's going to be a terrible, wonderful thing.
We put a disclaimer on the show.
Mm-hmm.
First of all of the opinions on this show are the opinions of the people themselves, not any entities they represent.
Correct.
Also, do and enjoy your liquid, douche or no douche, saying liquid,
douche.
Responsibly. And as far as the Shift Beers drinking game, we recommend if you are going to partake, do so in a responsible fashion.
Do it with water. I mean, hell, just see if you're, because I mean, you are going to have to take like bathroom breaks, even if you just do it with water, with the amount that you're going to be drinking. So if you're trying to stay hydrated, if you have trouble drinking enough water during the day, boom, there you go.
Yeah.
I have given you a solution. All right. Well, support Shift Beers so that they can keep putting out new episodes so that we can keep talking about them. They are at Shift Beers everywhere. They have a Patreon. They've put out a couple amazing Patreon episodes. Join the five of us that give them money.
Eventually, we'll get in on that. I have to think of who I went murdered first, though.
This is true. It is very. That's why I haven't raised my level.
You are considering the murder Patreon.
Yes.
Go big or go home.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Love that. That's awesome of you guys.
All right. Well, Marco, your glass is empty. Caroline, your glass is empty. I am still the slowest drinker at the table, which whatever. Who cares? So we're going to take a real quick break, and then we are going to be back to talk about the best podcast of the week, Craft Parenting Podcast with Caroline. We'll be right back.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, back to Truth, Beer, and Podsequences to cover the final show of the evening with our featured guest, Caroline, from Craft Parenting Pod.
She left the husband at home, so we only have one of the two hosts of the show. But real fast before that, you do have a new tall boy next to you, Marco. What are you going to wrap up the night with?
I am drinking Two Hearted Ale, two hearts that beat as one.
Oh, no.
I did it.
No.
It's too late.
I mean, I guess I did Wrecking Ball earlier, so it's only fair that you get your moment in the sun. But so, Caroline, it has been amazing having you here with us. Why don't you first tell us about what the Craft Parenting Podcast is, and then more specifically what episode 34, which we're going to recap, was about.
So Craft Parenting Podcast is where my husband and myself get to sit around and drink some beers while we talk about our life and things that interest us, which usually ends up being beer related. We have to throw
some kid related stuff.
Yeah, and kid related. My new goal in life is to make Marco say nipple pads every time he talks about our episodes.
Great goal.
Nice.
Yeah. And then, so specifically with episode 34, we talk about our favorite date night breweries to go to. They're all pretty close to our house. We're trying to branch out a bit more. Mm-hmm. And now that the kids are getting a little bit bigger, it's a little easier to venture away from home, but we still have to try to find places that are child friendly. Unfortunately, I don't think any of them are friendly enough to let us set up a pack and play.
Special bad treat.
I've seen some bad reviews with that one.
That's hilarious.
Yes, and just for anyone listening, it is 100% not Mad Tree. So you recorded the episode from Westside Brewing, which is one of my favorite breweries. It's the closest brewery to me, and probably one of the closest ones to you as well, since you are also a Westsider, which is the best side, Marco. Just saying.
I'm glad y'all are able to bond over your Westside-ness.
Hey, we have Wendy's that are open past 7 p.m.
And I have seen multiple parents walk around our neighborhood with their children while drinking beers, not in any way hidden.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's almost like you you have a Dora in your neighborhood.
Yes.
Hey, anywhere is a Dora as long as you don't get caught.
That's right. That's wonderful. That should be a button, damn it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please drink responsibly.
We are not responsible for any actions that may occur because you decided to drink in public.
That is fair.
So for anybody who hasn't listened to the Craft Parenting Pod, I'm going to talk a little bit about it, but we'll let the expert talk about it here in a little bit. So Craft Parenting Pod, yes, they have kids. They talk about kids and parenting and drinking and their stuff. But your show follows a little bit of a format. Do you want to give the listeners of our show, if they haven't listened to your show, an outline of your format?
Yeah, so we are very structured people. Mm-hmm. My husband and myself don't plan anything out ever. So we do our intro. You should see our itineraries when we go on trips.
Do you have laminated podcast sheets, though?
No, we do
but
have...
you will after this.
If I had access to a laminator, we probably would. We have FedEx. A very structured Google Doc that we use.
FedEx Kinko's.
We go... do a quick intro. We go over what we did for the week. We talk about what is bugging me in children's television.
I love that segment.
After...
Wiggles, tell me. They're all pedophiles, right?
Probably. So the Wiggles, Caillou... and
Caillou's the worst.
A few other shows are just completely banned from our house.
Caillou's the worst.
Yeah, that's why he's a little shit. That's why he's not allowed in our house.
The worst.
That's the bald kid, right?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just is very whiny and annoying. I do not like him. But so after your third run through of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, you have very big feelings about the show Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. What? Which is how that segment started.
Give us your hottest take. You know, the hottest of hot, the sizzling, most sizzling take for our audience to make them want to go and listen to your hot take weekly about what's bothering you in kids' television. Caroline, go.
So it's a very educational segment because I talk a lot about how these kids' shows are just ruining our children because they constantly break physics. Let's talk about how Daisy holds 6 balloons and is now floating through the sky. Even though Minnie and Pluto have grabbed on to Daisy, she is still
floating
at the same height, floating in the sky.
What about the butterfly in the sky and I can fly twice as high?
I really wish that I had access to good copies of Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
YouTube is just video quality leaves something to desire.
Butterfly in the sky.
Nope.
So after Joe gets to hear me rant for 5 minutes... we talk about what beers we're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Usually they're local
Second
Cincinnati beers.
Show. Yep.
And then we pick a topic for the week and we'll talk about that. So this week our topic was all about our favorite date night breweries. And then we challenge our listeners to come up with places where we should go next because we don't really leave our comfort zone that much. After we cover our main topic, Joe tries to get me to laugh with a dad joke.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't work.
Although it did the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Last two episodes, you've cracked a giggle.
He's found some gems recently.
Yes.
And then we'll close out the show.
And a lot of times after the show, you have bloopers, which I really enjoy as well. Those are always fun, kind of, which I've thought about adding for ours, but I don't know.
I mean, do we bloop?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Of course we do. The only reason you don't hear is because Julia's in charge of editing.
Yes.
As Caroline has found out today.
Episode 34, like you just said, date night hangouts. Are you listed your, is this your top five or is this just the full list of places that you've been so far for date nights?
These are probably our top five.
Okay.
Willing to expand the list if we... find something else we haven't been to yet. That
So didn't Joe allude in the show that, I mean, I became the authority on making sure that you do lists the proper way. I mean, if you're gonna do lists, you go from 5 to 1, right?
Oh, they bucked that system though. They called you out.
We said no thank you to that.
That's fine. I mean, it's your show. You can do it whatever way you want. I mean, you're entitled to your opinion. It's wrong, but it's yours. That's fine.
in numerical and then alphabetical order, we had 13 Below Brewing, which is delicious, and we really wish that they did more distribution.
Yeah.
Now they have cans in their tap room.
They just started doing cans,
And they're more into the dark beers, which is really what we like to drink for the most part. And now that they've got, well, I'd say now, it's been a while, that they have the Incline Smoke Shack.
Yes. So have you had their spoon bread?
No.
Because all that sounds crazy. Like in a context outside of this, Incline Smoke Shack and what did you say?
Spoon bread. Okay. So
like
this
all those sound like code words for something other than what it is.
And maybe they are. You just don't know because you don't come to the West Side.
Hell, I don't. Shit.
They're spoon bread. It's like cornbread, but made with like 37 pounds of butter.
I am here
you
for that.
You need
we will be getting
some
that next time we're
life.
There.
You need it in your life. So 13 Below, which...
They are 13 nautical miles.
Mm-hmm. South of Cincinnati.
Okay. That sounds familiar.
Yes.
And just check flood charts before you decide to go there to make sure they are not underwater.
Yeah. This is very true as well.
Yeah, that's happened at least twice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But and they always clean up. They always come back. It's never kept them down. So.
Nope.
God, I mean, there was one time it was awful. Like they sent out an SOS. Mm-hmm. And breweries showed up. I didn't.
Well, I
worked many jobs, so I couldn't. But
well, the guys from Mantry showed up in recycled kayaks to help bail them, like literally bail them out, like buckets and the water and the sandbags and all when they first got flooded after they first opened.
This is a community, so
So what's brewery number two for date night?
So brewery number two is Brink, which has been a longtime favorite of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to go their opening weekend and waited too long and they were out of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that did happen.
Yeah.
That was a real thing.
I like Brink, but as you mentioned in the podcast, it is a very small space. So it's something that you have to either be okay with if they're too crowded and it's not proper weather to sit outside. Get your beer to go or to potentially go somewhere else.
So
my only issue with Brink is just how small.
So in the aspect of Brews Travelers Outcast podcast, if you're at Brink and it's just too packed, you can't go there. I mean, where's your next stop?
There are tons of them.
So
where would your next stop be?
Brewery wise or food wise? Because tacos are right next door.
Yeah. Brewery wise.
Next, we would probably go to Listerman Trail House. Now it's a bit of a drive though. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we'd probably end up going to West Side because West Side, Best Side.
Well, but what about if you're at Brinks and Brinks is too busy, just right down the hill?
Oh, there's Fibonacci down there too. It's been a hot second since we've been there. We really need to go back though. I keep
back
telling Joe that.
Yeah, it's great. But 13 Below, and then Brink, and then number three on your list. Was it Listerman or Listerman Trail House for your date location?
So Listerman Trail House, because they have food and delicious Listerman beer. If we're finally going to have enough time or be able to clean the house enough to homebrew, then we go to Listerman because we have to hit up the homebrew shop too.
You mentioned that you enjoy homebrewers.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you homebrewed?
Oh, you're going to have to make me think.
Sorry about that.
I want to say since like 2018.
Okay.
Maybe 2017 at the earliest.
What got you into home brewing?
We drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, fair enough.
We figured it would be cheaper this way.
How many gallons do you brew at a time?
We do 5 gallons.
Okay, very good.
And we have a conical fermenter.
Oh, hell. From who?
From Craft a Brew.
Okay.
So it's plastic and it's clear. But we just throw a sweatshirt over it and then throw it in our storage
room. Right, so you don't get light, you know. Yeah, so you don't get light. Okay, good. And so you've been doing that since, what, 2018?
Yeah.
All right, so Listerman fits your date night niche as far as the trail house for when you just want, you know, to, I would say wine and dine, but beer and dine and have kind of that. Or you could go to Listerman and hit up the homebrew store if you want to add a little bit of that romance as far as that brewing, that homebrew aspect to it.
Yeah,
so,
and the
so
like
fits both of the
$50 in beer that we'll walk out the door with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that romance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the next one on the list is, I think, what you were kind of leaning towards on the if Brink's too busy, where do you just
head to. It wasn't necessarily the next on your list in the alphabetical format, but you have next Taspurporium,
yes.
Which I love that place. The pizza is phenomenal.
It is. It's my husband's favorite pizza. Now, part of that is probably because he worked for La Rosa's for a very long time.
Gotcha.
So he will eat La Rosa's, but it is not his first choice anymore.
So the last brewery on the list, because I know we are definitely getting up here in time, and I 100% do not want to rush you at all, but let's just kind of make sure that we give Craft Parenting Podcast its fair, you know, recap instead of us going all over the place and we don't get to talk about your show, which is why we have you here, is my favorite brewery. Mostly because it's the closest, but my God, the beer is just absolutely fantastic. Damn, how'd you know, Marco? That is not the closest brewery to me.
Nine Giant.
That is also not the closest brewery to me. You only have like 75 more to go through before you get this one.
Okay.
Last call. I'll give you one more. Make it good. It's
no,
not going to be right, but make it good.
Okay. It's going to be Third Eye.
That is a very good one, but it is not. It is Caroline.
West Side. Best Side.
West Side of the Best Side. Damn okay. Straight. Hey, it's one of these days I will get you over to the West Side.
Sure, pick me up.
I'll do that. We'll go from here. And then you'll just have to Uber back home because I'm not going to drive your ass back here after that.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah, West Side is, they're great. I mean, I like the little, like, living room area that they have there now.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have, like, couches. They have, like, two couches
talking about
and a table.
Cosby Show? What are we doing here?
It's like Friends.
I've got a living room.
it's more...
I've got a living room and some beer.
It's so Westside Brewings...
we have the Mug Club membership.
Yes. Now, what I kind of read between the lines there is you and the kids make all the mugs for the Mug Club. Like, you have them involved in... Because you do a lot of crafts as well. You know, the Craft Parenting Podcast. And you've talked about some of the craft work that you've done. Mm-hmm. So you guys make the mugs for the Mug Club?
I am not above child labor, so.
So also, another thing that I did not know until I listened to this episode, Joe isn't a true dad. He has no flannel. He does not wear New Balance shoes.
I don't think they make him in his size.
I don't, no excuses.
What's 13, 14?
15.
Shit.
And you have Marco over here, 3'7" on a good day with heels, rocking his size 5 women's. And
my son rocks around on like a 13 or 14. And it's like when he walks, like we don't need to have fans on in the house.
I know that. Yeah.
So you're like 15s. Like, holy shit.
So not only is Joe ancient now, he's not a true dad.
Nope.
But he is
the Michael Jackson of German dancing, and then he creates his own wind.
Yes. That Excellent. Is all true.
So whose idea was the podcast to do the podcast? Was it you, Joe? It was just kind of a collaboration of just, this might be fun to kind of record what we do during the week, the things that we're experiencing, all that?
Yeah, it was kind of a combination of the two. It was like, hey, we kind of wanted... We don't do anything ever. I don't have a long list of activities that I'm involved in. Let's throw something else into the mix. And hey, we listen to a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. We think that we can add something to the Cincinnati scene.
Nice.
Why don't we see where this takes us?
Cool. And you are 34 episodes in and no signs of stopping.
Nope.
That's awesome. That is really great. And that was kind of marketing. I was just one of those... We could talk about podcasts because there are a lot of them.
Well... Yes.
Downhill
and,
ever since.
I think it's worth certainly talking about all of the podcasts in the Cincinnati Podcastlandia. Julie and I both agreed, and we thought it was worth talking about and be cool and fun podcasts. And certainly we knew we were niche, right? Mm-hmm. Like, most of the people that were going to listen to us at first were people that we actually talked about.
Right, right.
But...
Like, for your podcast, if you're someone that enjoys craft beer, you're a parent and you're like, is any other parent really kind of doing the same things we're doing, or how can we relate to other people? Hopefully, if they listen to us, on the shows where we get to recap Craft Parenting Pod, because, we'll be honest, if there's not you know, our lane is Cincinnati craft beer. There have been a couple episodes to where you'll touch on the beers you're drinking, but they're not beer-centric.
We talk about nipple pads.
We talk about nipple pads.
Yeah, and we're here, I mean, also as a craft beer podcast for Cincinnati.
But what we want to try to do is, there have been a couple random podcasts that, you know, there'll be individual episodes like That's So Cincy. That was one that there was an individual episode to where it's like, I didn't know it existed. It was someone else that came to us and said, hey, you guys talk about craft beer podcasts. Here's an episode. Mm-hmm. We hope that that drives more people to kind of either hopefully subscribe to them, you know, stay subscribed to them, learn about new podcasts that they didn't know about. And that's what we want to do as well. Like, what can we do as podcasters to drive more traffic to you guys? Because someone says,
we have no idea at what point in their life our listeners are at. And if they're at the point where they fit your, you know,
your lane,
lane, we want to drive them to your podcast.
Yeah.
And that's sort of our thing, is that we talk about all these shows and give snippets, and hopefully we
pique your interest about it.
Pique your interest, yeah.
The things that we say that may or may not be accurate. Yeah.
I recall Joe's story about his trip to Europe a little bit differently, but who's to say you have it wrong?
Well, exactly. It's
well, and they won't know unless they go, is that something that really happened? I want to listen to your show to find out what's actually going on about this, and that's what
it's not that off.
It's not.
I mean,
but it's kind of off. But I mean, it's in our lane, right? So I truly appreciate that you guys listen. I truly appreciate you
providing content for us to talk about.
Providing content for us to talk about and coming on and, you know, being here and you know, being part of the show, sponsoring the show. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very, very much
For sponsoring the show. And encourage anybody who, you know, has a young family to get over and get into the Craft Parenting Pod. I mean, they're very immersed also in the German heritage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Of Cincinnati. If you want to take a minute and or two or three and talk about that, this is a great moment for you to, you know, talk about that.
If you have been in Cincinnati for an extended period of time, you know all about downtown Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. What you might not know is there are three big German societies in Cincinnati that also have their own festivals. There's Kolping Society, which has been described to me way back when as a Catholic society with a German problem.
I like it.
They have their Schützenfest in July, which is not necessarily like the kickoff of Oktoberfest season, but it's the kickoff of fest season. And then there's Germania, which has their Oktoberfest is what we consider to be the start of Oktoberfest season in Cincinnati. It's the end of August. They are very much a German society. But then our home away from home is the Donaueschwaben Society, where we have what we unbiasedly call the best Oktoberfest in Cincinnati. I want to say we rival downtown Oktoberfest as far as number of beers that we have on draft, especially for just size of festival.
You have 34?
We usually have 32 beer taps.
32. Okay.
It's just a matter of how much of those are doubled.
Okay.
We try to get in as many imports as we can. Everyone at the club is a very, which is what we call it, is a very big lover of German beer. I like to say that we come up with new activities because we like to drink. So there's the fifth Friday of the month, they have the fifth Friday Froth Fest because we also like alliteration, which was an excuse for, hey, we have our club meetings the fourth Friday of the month, but every once in a while we have this fifth Friday. Let's just get together and drink.
Sounds
and that
good.
Turned into a thing.
I like it.
And then we had the Steinverein for a while, which was the second Friday of the month. But we also are big about preserving the Donaueschwaben culture. Mm-hmm. They are a group of people who not a lot of people know about that lived in, they didn't live in Germany, but were German-speaking people and were persecuted for the acts of the Germans during World War II. Their story is kind of a downer, but as they came to the United States and other countries, they started to come together, preserve their culture, And that's why we have our dance groups. That's why I know so much about German beer that most people don't. My first beer was actually German beer.
Nice.
So when I started getting like, oh, hey, we're out and about, I'm sure you want a Bud Light. I'm like, No. Let's not do that.
Give me the Dunkel.
Yeah, let's do something a bit heavier than that. And with the dance groups, we've been all across the country and just about every event in the city.
Abroad, because your husband's the Michael Jackson of German dancing.
Oh, he is.
To the folks of Hungary, absolutely. Well, Caroline, thank you so incredibly much for being here with us. How can people find you and Joe, find your podcast, find your blog, find everything about craft parenting?
So we have craftparentingpodcast.com. That's our blog. You can find all of our podcasts there. And then we do a ton of blog posts as well, stuff about our life. But then also I have some resources for if you found out that you're pregnant, kind of tips and tricks for how life is going to work out now that worked for us. Might not necessarily work for you, but it's at least a place to start.
Any resource is a good resource.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. We have an Instagram page. We have a Facebook page. I am an Instagram mom because I am a mom who is on Instagram.
All right.
But ours is very much more real life than everything is staged and perfect. My favorite hashtag at the moment is where in the house are Lily's books? Most recently, it was in the cabinet with our aluminum foil.
Well, again, thank you so incredibly much for being here, for spending your evening with us. We had a great time. We will see you at the Beer, Booze, and Bonks Fest.
Oh, we're looking forward to it. And thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. You're always welcome. Hopefully, maybe Joe can show up next time and we can have
everyone
involved.
Maybe have one of the buttons with Smooth Criminal and he can just do his thing.
He does a bit better with the polka.
Version of Smooth Criminal.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure out something. Well, for all of the listeners, thank you so very much for sticking with us through episode 15 of Truth, Beer, and Podsequences. If you like what we're doing, please, subscribe, like, share, support us. Support all of the podcasts that we talk about. Without them making their content, we can't make our content. So do everything you can to support them to continue to provide us with fun things to talk about. Follow us on social media. We are at Truth Beer Pod everywhere. And you can also send us an email if there's something you would like to see at truthbeerpod@gmail.com. We need your glass.
Oh,
gotta have a nice little shake.
Gonna do it.
So Caroline, thank you so much
Caroline.
For joining us. Marco, what are you going to be doing next Tuesday?
I think, I'm going to try to get off early from work and get over here to BC's Biolodge Montgomery so I can meet you, and we're going to talk about some Cincinnati Craft Brew Podcast.
Sounds excellent. I will see you there. Bye.
Bye.